Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 273 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, once again. And today, my guest is, once again, Tom Lambot. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you as a dedicated listener of The Law Entrepreneur, you will know that Tom is now making his fourth appearance. He was on way back in episode 16, again on episode 102, episode 174. Now he comes back for episode 273. So very happy to have Tom on board with us today. Tom has a new platform product business that he has created called Security Plus. And we're going to talk about what that is, why it's important, and how you can offload all the concerns you might have with respect to providing security for the tech installation in your solo or small firm practice. And if you're like most people, including myself, you know, we stick our heads in the sand to a degree when it comes to security, under the belief that the platforms that we're using, the tools that we're using, are rigorously vetted for security purposes. In some cases, that's true. In some cases, it may be less so. But as Tom points out in our discussion, a lot of times it's really not so much the tool or the platform that provides the greatest security risk. It is the user. And so his A new product, Security Plus, addresses that concern. And so I hope you find this interesting. It's very timely, very well, much needed by all of us. So without any further delay, here's my friend, once again, Tom Lambot. Tom Lambot, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hello, Neil. Thanks for having me again.
Well, I'm delighted to have you back with us, Tom. For our listeners out there, Tom is a now four-time returning champion, having been on the program way, way back on episode number 16, which, if you can believe it, Tom, was in May of 2016.
Wow.
And then again on episode 102 in March of 2018. And finally, last at 174 on August of 2019. So we seem to have you on the about the 18-month to two-year rotation.
Yeah, you just can't get rid of me.
Yeah, well, we love having you on the show. For those of our audience who have not had the opportunity to hear you before, or haven't yet been able to go back to episode 16, 102, or 174. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, so I'm the CEO of Global Mac IT, is my primary hat. And that's the one I've always kind of showed up as, if you will, for my first three episodes. Mm-hmm. And so Global Mac IT is a managed service provider that only works with law firms that use Mac. So it's a very niche, you know, area. That's where we first met at MacTrack Legal back when it was Milo Fest.
Yep.
And so for many years, you know, that's the core of the business that I built, is just helping lawyers nationwide that run their law firms on Macs. And then now I'm actually wearing a different hat today, which I'm really excited about. And so I started a company called Security Plus, and it was built specifically to help me with something that was just kind of bothering me for a long time. You know, as I grow Global Mac IT over the years, you know, as many people do, you have to kind of raise your minimums, you get your ideal, you know, client size where it's profitable and where you can provide the most value. And this, it ended up being a 10 user minimum is where we are now. And during the past 16 years, I first started in 2006, I've never turned away someone who wanted to sit down and, you know, just kind of chat and have a, you know, consultation. I never charge for that. I love to help others. But more and more, I was finding myself turning away solo and small firm lawyers. So we'll get back into that in just a few minutes. When I'm not working, which I work as little as I have to, I have a pretty strict schedule. I work 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. now that homeschooling is done with the past year. Yeah. I'm the father of four wonderful kids. They're 10, 7, 7, and 4.5. And we just adopted a French bulldog because our two English bulldogs passed away last year. They had long, good lives for bulldogs. They were 13 and a half and 12 and a half. That's it. We live out in just outside of Cleveland, out in the country with space and nature. And I enjoy the yard work as I age here.
Well, you're a glutton for punishment, Tom. I know you're running two businesses and, you know, raising four kids and staying married. You know, that all there's three full-time jobs right there.
It is no small feat. And to top it off, my mother-in-law lives with us.
There you go.
You know, 3/4 of the year. So I can take a beating, you know.
So let's talk about Security Plus, because you know me, I've not yet really bought into the whole concern about security. I mean, I've said this before on the program, that I feel that the measures that are employed by the programs and platforms that I utilize are sufficient to meet my needs and to meet my obligations under the rules of professional conduct. Having said that, you know, I'm not blind to the fact that every week you turn around and there's another story about a serious data breach. Mm-hmm. And so while I'm somewhat suspect to the whole conversation, I'm also realistic that I might just be sticking my head in the sand because that's easier for me to do. So tell me a little bit about what brought you around to the concept of Security Plus.
Yeah. So, and you know, it's funny, for a long time, I was right there with you. When I first started, you know, we've always been Mac only, right? And right. One of the best things about Macs is, hey, Macs are secure. We don't get viruses, right? And so I used to boast, I remember 10 years ago, I'd be like, hey, we don't even run any antivirus software on our Macs because we're Macs. We don't get viruses. And you know, not one of our clients have gotten a virus to this day, right? However, about 9 years ago, we had a really close scare with our largest client at the time, a law firm in Texas. And they were so close to experiencing a data breach that would have cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so I had kind of told myself, like, yeah, security is important to us. But I had to face the hard truths, you know, and it's like, yeah, maybe I'm not doing a good a job as I should. And, you know, the thing is with Mac users is that the threat landscape is continually evolving, right? And so the threats that were hurting all the Windows users 10 years ago, which were, you know, viruses and ransomware today, don't get onto the Macs and they haven't. But the problem is that the threat landscape is no longer just viruses and ransomware, right? Now there's a lot of factors out there, a lot of threats that don't care whether you use your Mac or PC, that are essentially out of your control. And so you've got to have the basic, you know, kind of security hygiene, but you have to do more because there's a lot of factors that, you know, just because you're doing the basic security hygiene, it's not going to protect you from these other threats, right? Like a third-party website being breached. And then, boom, they get their credentials, they sell it on the dark web, and then, you know, bad actors and those scary cyber criminals and hoodies, you know, try to hack your different accounts.
Yeah, well, the, you know, one of the changing and shifting aspects of the landscape is, you know, back in the day when we were all local to our own hardware systems, whether it be a single unit or a, you know, a local network of machines, if they were Mac based, you could rest relatively secure knowing that you weren't subject to the same kinds of threats that others in the PC world were. However, we got away from that because we moved everything up into the cloud. And so now where our data is being stored, and where our information exists is no longer within that secure confine of your Mac unit. It's somewhere else, and you have to rely upon the security of others.
Mm-hmm. And it's good because it's brought forth with it a lot of progress, and it's really simplified the technology, you know, management and use. And I think by doing that, it's really empowered. I mean, tens of thousands of solo and small firm lawyers, right?
Right.
You know, instead of trying to run, you know, mail on an Exchange server in house or running it on Apple Mail on a server, both of which are a nightmare, you know, and every time there's a power fluctuation or a power outage, a whole email's down, and then you've got to figure out how to deal with spam and all these things, right? A lot of these major complexities that you had to deal with, you know, 10 years ago, you know, you can set up 365 box, you know, for file storage and your case management software and get up and running in one afternoon, right? Without any of the costs and the security and the, you know, IT guys billing $200 an hour, you know, spending 20 hours just to flip the switch, right? So that's good. But on the flip side is the complexity, right? Yep. With simplicity, there's always the flip side of the coin. And so as a result, now there are more security things you have to, you know, be aware of, you know, phishing and business email compromise and all these different things that didn't exist, you know, 10 years ago are now becoming more and more frequent and popular. And I think you nailed it on the head when you said, you know, sticking your head in the sand. In one of my webinars, I actually have a picture of a bunch of, you know, lawyers in suits sticking their heads in the sand. And that's the most popular security approach in use by lawyers is what I call the hope strategy or the ostrich strategy, right? I hope nothing's going to happen to me. I hope I'm too small. I hope I practice family law so they're not looking for me. And you know, the headlines are partly to blame, I think, because every time you see a headline, it's about Jones Day, right? Or it's about the Panama Papers, right? It's giant, you know, it's the big law firms. And so, you know, the same way when you hear about data breaches, it's like, oh, Target got hacked, 300 million. And as soon as you hear that, you're like, okay, well, that doesn't apply to me. Right. Or when you hear the headline about the average cost of a data breach is $3.6 million, right? Those statistics actually hurt small businesses because as soon as you hear that, you're like, yeah, that doesn't apply to me.
Right. For sure. And I will also suggest that we oftentimes as attorneys, we're thinking about compromise of our client data, which is absolutely something we have to be concerned about. But at the same time, we don't recognize that the potential exists to compromise our own personal data because we're providing that, using that personal data, or I should say business-related data to run our businesses. So for instance, you know, I mean, I have less concerns about my clients case information getting out. I'm certainly concerned about it, but I'm more concerned about my law firm credit card number being compromised.
Yeah, there's so much data out there, and there's so many, you know, there's far more doors to walk in through today than there were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, right? You and I have known each other since before, you know, the cloud was widely adopted,
right?
And so it's a completely different world today. And so the problem is that the landscape has changed, but the security approaches have not changed by much, right? Most people absolutely, you know, use the ostrich approach, right?
Yeah.
Strategy. And they say, well, you know, that doesn't, you know, I'm not at risk because fill in the blank, right? You can put in the type of law you practice, or you can fill in the blank with the total number of users. Oh, it's just me and a paralegal. I'm too small. They're not looking for me. On the flip side, the problem is that cyber criminals are well aware of that fact. And so they know, they go, hey, the small businesses are super last because they don't think we're coming for them. So let's go for them. Right. And with our, you know, AI advancements and all these things with scalability and the power to automate, it's amazing for what it's done for my business with Zapier, for example. Right. But the flip side, the criminals are using the same types of technologies we have access to. So they're not sitting there one by one, you know, manually trying to type in your password. If that was the case, yeah, that's a waste of their time. They're going to go for the big ones. But now they can tap into these different tools that can automate, and they can do their thing at scale, just like we do with our email marketing. We do it at scale, right? We're not sending out individual emails. And so, you know, I mean, as a result, the ABA Tech Report, the biggest single fact out of that one that stood out to me is that 29% of lawyers were breached in 2020, which is up from 26% in 2019. And so I hear that and I'm like, holy crap, pardon my French. You know, I'm sitting in a CLE webinar. I look to the lawyer on my left and the lawyer on my right. And it's like, well, one of the three of us has been breached. You know, that's like mind boggling to me.
So yeah. Then tell me, you know, with that kind of realization coming to the forefront, how did Security Plus then start to formulate in your mind?
So where it first came is, again, I was turning away, you know, so many, you know, solo and small firm lawyers that they wanted to do the right thing, right? It's like, hey, I know security and technology is something I need to do and do well in my business because they see it as an asset, as an investment that they can, you know, really use to build their firm. But I was turning them all away. And so I started asking myself about 2 years ago, and I was like, man, how can I, you know, how can I help the solo and small firms, right? That's who I really love to work with. I mean, my why, what drives me is helping entrepreneurially minded lawyers grow. And the most entrepreneurial of all lawyers are the solo and small firms by definition, because they're doing everything. They're wearing
by necessity. Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, look at yourself. How many different hats do you wear on a week to week basis? Right. You're not just practicing law. You're doing marketing and HR and finances and, you know, client, you know, finding new clients and you got to do the lawyering in there too. And so I started asking myself, where can I help them? And I think you remember when Basic Care first came out, that was kind of my beta version. I was like, hey, why don't we take the tools that we use to streamline the management of the Macs for our clients, right? That take care of all the security updates and have got a whole bunch of the security layers and things that they do, and make those available just to the Mac using lawyers. And that was my kind of early version. And then over time, I realized it didn't stick as much as I thought it wanted to. It didn't get the traction. And so I went back and I did more kind of research and just talking to solos and small firms. And what kept coming up over and over and over again was the security. You know, it's a giant unknown. It's really complicated. It's really scary. And it's for a long time, I actually subconsciously, I put this off because I really despise the fear mongering that's really used to lead, you know, the sale of the majority of security solutions. It's like, oh, I'm going to show you the cyber criminal in his hoodie and just, you know, scare the lights out of you to buy my product. And I never wanted to create that. But at the same time, I had so many direct reports of really close calls or actual data breaches that I see on a regular basis from solo and small firms. You know, Jason he went through a course I did a couple of years ago. He had opened up his practice 2 years ago, him and a partner. They left a larger law firm. And over 3 months, he and I kept rescheduling an appointment because he wanted to talk about security. He's like, hey, what should I be doing? And he kept canceling and rescheduling at the last minute. Mm-hmm. And then in October of last year, I get an email from him. He said, hey, Tom, yeah, you know, okay, can we talk? Can we book a time? And I was like, sure. And what happened is that he got an email from opposing counsel, and essentially the opposing counsel's email was breached. Okay. So he got an email and it said, hey, I just sent a document for you now. Check your inbox and refer, you know, to the documentation, as it's very important. And this was an active case that was going on. So the email was not out of the blue. It was not out of place, if that makes sense.
Right.
And so he thought, he's like, well, it looks kind of weird, you know, that he didn't attach the file. So he replied and he said, hey, you know, for some reason, the document is not opening. He didn't click on anything at that point. He said, can you try, you know, can you attach the documents directly? 5 minutes later, he gets a reply that says, hey, thanks for your kind response. You know, the requested email is legitimate and has been secured to your email. Go ahead and, you know, open the document with this email to gain access and let me know your thoughts immediately. So this was not his opposing counsel. This was someone who was in his opposing counsel's email, right? Replying and having a live conversation back and forth. And so that's an example of business email compromise, which is really, really crazy. And, you know, Jason, again, he kind of dodged a bullet. He knew what to look out for. But if he had clicked on it and put in his credentials, boom, now his email, you know, credentials would have been given up. He would be compromised, right? And what he realized, he's like, man, he's like, Tom, my opposing counsel is a small firm with two lawyers, just like mine, you know? And he's like, I don't ever, ever, ever want to go through that experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the things you can do. There's the things you know and the things you don't know, right? And so the things you know are the basic security hygiene, and you've got to do those steps, right? But there's more. Because as the owner of the firm, typically you're going to be the most tech savvy. You're going to have your antenna out looking for, you know, things like this to pop up, right? But cyber criminals, again, they're really, really smart. They get paid a lot of money. They know, you know, they study human psychology. They know that you're weakest on a 4 p.m. on a Thursday or Friday because you want to wrap up the day. Your kids are hungry. Your dog's barking to get let out. You're just trying to knock out a few emails. And that's when they're going to send the email because they know you're less, you know, aware and cautious as you would be, you know, fresh in the morning.
Yeah, right? I'm tired.
Yeah. And so that, you know, that's a business email compromise, which I see all the time, right? And so, these are happening to small firms, not just the big mega firms.
So let's just roll back a little bit. I want to make sure we're clear to our listeners that the whole security component that you provided under the umbrella of Global Mac IT was one aspect of the services, managed services that you provided to the firms that you supported. And then you kind of took the essence of that and created the basic package or platform in order to extend just the security measures to people who might be interested. But you found that that wasn't enough. That wasn't gaining the traction that you needed to. On top of that, I believe you said you came to the realization that offering that basic security package to just solo or small firms that used Macs was limiting the potential for reach of your new product. So what then happened?
Yeah. So thanks for getting me back on track. So first, it was just the tools for kind of the Macs, right? Yep. And it didn't get the traction I wanted. I didn't put the time and energy into it, but I think, you know, Mac users are overly confident in their security. And that's something I've been kind of beating that drum for years, trying to say, hey, wake up.
Yeah, you know, we're both responsible for creating that overconfidence.
Absolutely. And I'm the first to admit, 10 years ago, I was banging that drum saying, hey, we're good. We're Mac users, right? We kind of have our noses up in the air. And so I think I realized that that's hurt. And so I've kind of pedaled back on those statements. And so anyways, so I realized that they need, you know, there's so many security solutions out there that are super helpful, you know, that we spent the past 10 years, you know, after we had that close scare 9 years ago with the firm in Texas. And we spent hundreds and hundreds of hours, you know, my system admin doing researching and testing and, you know, testing everything internally before we rolled it out to our clients. And we eventually came to kind of a core set because just like, you know, car safety, right? Car safety is not given by a seatbelt, right? Or airbags. It's provided by the layers of security protections, right? So you've got anti-lock brakes and airbags and lane detection systems and seatbelts and all these different things now. And put together, they increase the overall safety. And so I believe that's the best way to have, you know, to really strengthen your overall security for your practice. And so what we built in Security Plus is 8 total kind of security layers that is now the default. And we include, so all of our managed service clients, right? So it's $2,500 a month minimum. This is built into that. It's not optional, right? Because I realized I'm like, in today's age, this cannot be an option. And if we have a client that's like, yeah, no, I don't really want to do the security stuff, they're not going to be a good client, right? Because it's just a ticking time bomb. And so what we did, we peeled away all of these solutions. And I said, how can I make this as simple as I can? Because all these solutions are great, but the problem for solo and small firms is they don't know these solutions exist, right, to begin with. They misunderstand the threats. And even if they understand the threats and they know the solutions exist, now it's on them to go out and find the, you know, 8 different security layers, sign up for each one individually, learn how to use it, set it up, right? It's a nightmare and it's not going to happen. They don't have the time. And so with Security Plus, we wrap these 8 different security layers into this. And then I spent a ton of time with my team because I was like, they don't have time. You know, if it's complicated, if it's complex, they're going to go back to the hope strategy, the ostrich approach, because it's the easiest thing, right? And so we were able to streamline it. So it takes 1 hour of their time. And at the end of this hour, all 8 of the security layers are active, which I think is really, really cool. And I'm really proud of that.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by Center Stage and the Law Firm Marketing Minute, 2 great podcasts produced by Spotlight Branding. We're a legal marketing company providing content marketing for law firms that actually works. And we created these shows as a free resource to help lawyers like you learn more about marketing and business development. Every Monday, the Law Firm Marketing Minute arrives with a short 10-minute dose of marketing tips and inspiration to help you grow your firm. On Wednesdays, Center Stage arrives with perspective from other lawyers and legal industry experts to help you tackle marketing and other business development challenges. Check both of these shows out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and more. Both shows make great companions for the law entrepreneur, so subscribe today. Hope to see you there soon.
Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details and communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle, staying top of mind without the stress. According to the 2020 ABA Tech Report, 29% of law firms have been hacked. And sadly, even I have now joined that group, further proving that this is happening on a regular basis. I was waiting for an email message from a colleague, and when I got it, it said it was encrypted, and I clicked on it to try and unencrypt it, and immediately realized, that's a hack job waiting to exploit my gullibility. So I immediately started changing passwords and trying to prevent any damage from further compromising my system. But I can't help but wonder, had I gone through Tom's cybersecurity training, would I have fallen for this phishing exercise? That's why I love Security Plus, and I'm excited to bring them on as a new sponsor of this podcast. Check out this new solution at securityplus.io/Neil, N-E-I-L. That's securityplus.io/Neil. You can grab their security checklist as a freebie and lock in 10% discount for life. Again, that's securityplus.io/Neil. Now, did you also tell me that you've extended Security Plus functionality to be able to serve Windows-based systems as well?
Yes. Thank you. That's a key detail. Once I made the list of all the things that I could, you know, pull out of our core solution stack without needing the labor element for my team, I said, wow, only one of these is Mac only. And then when we looked a little bit closer, we realized we have access to the Windows alternative that does the same thing. And that's the management tools for the Mac, right? Which does the software updates, monitoring, maintenance, you know, patching, virus and malware scanning, removal, DNS security, right? So that's the only thing that touches a computer. The other seven layers don't care whether you're a Mac or a PC. So it's really exciting for me because, you know, for the past 16 years, I've always served, you know, at best 9% of the market, right? So I, you know, we had such a niche, you know, there are about 9% of small firm lawyers use Macs. Could be higher, could be lower, but that's a ballpark, you know, through a few different surveys I've seen. And so now I'm able to help everybody, you know, so and that's exciting for me because I love helping others. So,
yeah, I think it's an important piece of information for us to make clear to the audience because I don't want our, you know, our Windows-based listeners to say, okay, well, this is going to be all Mac, so I'm going to tune out. It definitely is a platform agnostic. And I think that's in keeping with, you know, really the whole concept of software as a service and cloud-based systems. To be honest, that all of that now is platform agnostic. And so it makes sense to have the managed security services, you know, recognize that reality and be able to support everybody.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's, it makes it easier. It, at the end of the day, my lifelong goal, I don't know how far you want to go. I want to impact a million people. You know, I want to help a million people. That's what drives me. And so this was crucial in being able to expand that. All of a sudden I've got a market reach that's 10 times what it was before. And again, it's just, I understand the plight of the small firm owner. You know, there's so many things they're responsible for and that you have to do. And you know, going into it, you're not going to be able to perform every single role at a high level, right? And so you balance that, right? It's a constant game of going back and forth. Okay, I'm going to focus on marketing this month, and you get business and you're good for a few months and that kind of falls in the wayside, right? Or you get behind on your books for 2 or 3 months and then one weekend you get caught up, right? And that's okay. But when it comes to security, that is one facet that you cannot ignore and put on the side, because if you do, when you have a data breach, I mean, you're in a world of pain.
Right. You know? It has to be constantly adhered to and addressed. And I think, you know, one of the things that's important for solo and small firm practitioners, and we've discovered, particularly through this pandemic, is that the idea of outsourcing work to specialists, to those who understand, you know, a unique challenge is more readily acceptable, I think, these days than it was in the past. So that people are more willing now to say, okay, I'm not going to roll my own website, okay, because I could spend all day and every day building a website myself. I'm going to turn it over to somebody who's a professional at it and who can do it much better than I and much cheaper than I could do it myself. And I think the same is true with security. It's a critical and indispensable aspect of being able to not only comply with the rules of professional conduct, but just run your business in a way that doesn't give you, you know, pain and heartache at night. And so do I want to do that myself? Do I want to educate myself? And, you know, it's kind of like SEO. Do I want to learn everything there is to know about SEO so I can improve my search results? Or do I want to turn that over to professionals? So I think this is really kind of in keeping with outsourcing that which makes your life easier and allows you to sleep better.
Yeah. I was saying, I've always loved, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Should, right.
And have you read the book, Who Not How? By Dr. Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan?
I have not.
Okay. I'll send you a copy.
Yeah. Who Not How?
I love it.
Yeah. I know the basic premise of the book. Go ahead and share that with us.
The basic premise is that, you know, every time an entrepreneur has an idea, the next question is, how do I do this? And so what you need to do is shift the question to who can do this? And so there's a quote, when you're trying to accomplish something challenging or difficult that you've never done before, you probably need a who. This is straight from the book. Let me say that another way. You absolutely need a who if you're trying to accomplish something new and challenging, unless you're fine not getting the result you want in the near future, right? You can teach yourself how to WordPress and build a website, but it's going to take you a heck of a long time to do it, right? And to get to the point where you're happy with it.
Guilty. And so
we've all done that. We like to tinker, but it's so important to know, and I think one of the things I realized just a few months ago, as I was, really working on Security Plus and getting the website and the copy and all that, one of the key distinctions is that, again, technology has gotten so much easier to manage. Most, solo and small firm lawyers can get by without an IT guy. 10 years ago, you needed an IT guy. You depended on them a lot more, right? Just for, setting up and customizing daylight, right? That's stuff that I used to do 10, 15 years ago for lawyers. Just kind of managing the regular things nowadays, you don't need an IT guy. I think 46% of small firm lawyers, turn to internal, for IT help, before they go to external, right? So most people manage their own tech, which I think is great and fine. And I've told people for years, like, hey, until you get to kind of 6, 7, 8 people, that I found that to be the tipping point of kind of complexity, where you should really start considering outsourcing to a managed service provider or using an IT, consultant. A lot of people, like if you're fairly confident with your tech, you have no problem managing it, right? Adding a new email account user, a new Clio user, those kind of things are not that difficult. And that's great, but the flip side of that coin is under the role of kind of the IT management that we were just talking about, security also falls under that hat.
Yeah.
And so that's where the problem comes in, where they don't have an IT consultant giving them direction or advice. And even then, a lot of IT consultants are jack of all trades. They work with anyone and everyone. You might use your neighbor's friend because he can help out with basic stuff, but they don't really understand the threats and, the what are the biggest concerns that they need to protect themselves from.
And ironically, it's the Windows-based users who were much more likely to have an IT guy. And I'll admit, I kind of snickered at, you guys need an IT guy? We don't, But then, when the idea of managed security issues comes up, I would think they're a little more open to the idea of bringing on a security expert to do that for them, because they've been doing that, for their whole tech suite to start with. So let's kind of take a little bit of a dive without giving away the store. I'm interested in knowing what are the general conceptual layers, these 8 layers that are addressed in Security Plus. So give our audience a little idea of what that means, what they can expect.
Yeah, I can run through them. And I think for a little bit of context, we've known each other for, well over a decade, but I'm kind of obsessive when it comes to, finding the best of the best, right? So if you can think, imagine a tool set, right? When I was growing up and I had no tools, I bought a cheap one from Walmart, right? And, over time I'm adding different tools. And now I'm obsessed. Whenever I buy something, I don't just want to buy a hammer. Right. I want to buy what is the best hammer? What is the most like technologically advanced hammer that's going to make my life as easy as possible? And so I've taken that same kind of obsession to building the different security layers, in Security Plus. So, phase one, if you will, is like, okay, cybersecurity training. Everyone needs cybersecurity training. One of the biggest, threats and one of the biggest source of breaches are people on your team. Right? Whether it's you or paralegal, another lawyer, an associate, because they don't know how to look out for phishing attacks. They don't, they fall prey to some of these things, right? So cybersecurity training is a critical step. Now, if you're like the majority of people listening, you probably had a flashing thought of like, oh gosh, cybersecurity training? Just shoot me. No, thanks. I'm good. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's like, hey, let's hire the most monotone, dull person and make a horrible video and we'll make it 60 minutes long. And so everyone has to go through. It reminds me of Bueller.
Yeah.
Bueller, right? Fast Times at Ridgemont High, for those that don't get it. But again, you know, most cybersecurity training is just god awful. And recently I had to re-up our HIPAA certification. Yeah, so everyone on my team had to go through it, including myself. And I'll admit, I asked my assistant, I was like, can you just go through this for me? Like, I don't want to do it. She said no, because, you know, I got to do the right thing. And I ended up going through it. But I'll admit, I hit mute. I hit play on the video and I let them play. And when the questions got to the end, they're so stupid obvious that I was able to answer all of them correctly right off the bat, right? So that is bad security training, because it can be circumvented. It's so dull and painful, right? That I didn't learn. I didn't benefit from it.
Doesn't mean and it's subjective.
Yeah. And so I actually went out and I found this cutting edge, where I call it fun cybersecurity training that doesn't suck and can't be bypassed. So the way this cybersecurity training is delivered, it's actually, if you can imagine, if The Simpsons taught cybersecurity, it would be a lot more engaging, right? So they created a cast of cartoon characters who are, you know, come in and out through all these videos. And so they're 7-minute videos. They're cartoon based with characters that you get to know and like over the different videos and over time. So it's a lot more interesting. It's shorter segments. So people are actually going to pay attention for 7 minutes, right? They're going to retain more. They're going to learn it. And the questions are actually based on the story told. And they're not what I call stupid, obvious questions, right? Like, you know what I'm talking about. Right. So I won't make up an example.
So cybersecurity training, that's first layer. What comes after that?
So IT security policies, so boring and dull, but the cobbler's son has no shoes, and the majority of lawyers don't have policies in place, right? Like an acceptable use policy, a backup and disaster recovery policy. These are things you got to have in place, again, to kind of cover your ass and just set the stage with everyone on your team. Hey, this is what you can and can't do, right? This is what we do. Mm-hmm. So security policy templates. Okay. The next one is dark web monitoring. I'm a huge believer in this dark web service. Essentially, what happens when there's a data breach, right? So you hear about the 300 million, you know, compromised records. What you don't hear about is what happens next. So the way the criminals get paid is not by, you know, getting 300 million credentials from Target. They get paid when they sell it on the dark web, which is the Amazon for cyber criminals. And then other criminals say, hey, I'll buy, you know, I'll buy a million of those. I'll buy 10 million of those. And then they go to work and they try to see what password and email combinations work on different sites. You know, they can reverse engineer, use someone's name, you know, let's say, for example, your email is neiltyra@mac.com or whatever it is. Then they say, okay, well, let's look them up on LinkedIn. They can see where you work. They can find out what kind of services you might use, and they can try to hack into those services, right? So anytime there's a data breach and some of these credentials go for sale on the dark web, you want to know when it happens. That way, if it uses a password that's actively being used or variation of that, you can go and change it. Right. A few years back, a little interesting password history here. The National Institute of Security Standards, NIST, the government agency, they're the ones that taught everyone for 20 years that you should change your password every 90 days, right? The forced password changes. And 2 or 3 years ago, they came out and they said, well, you know that advice we told you for so long? We actually realized it's actually really bad advice, because they realized that everyone does what the same thing, right? Every 90 days, they'll add a 1 to the end of the password. 90 days later, they add a 2, right? And so it actually created worse password hygienes. So what they said at the end of the day, what I'm getting to, is they said, hey, what we recommend now is to only change your password once you know it's been compromised, which is great advice. But how do you know it's been compromised? That's what dark web scanning kind of comes in and does. So the next thing is we've got phishing training for your employees. So this actually ties in with the cybersecurity training. It's provided through the same solution. And we all get phishing emails. What this does is it sends phishing emails through our tool to everyone on your team. That way, if someone clicks on a link or enters their credentials, you know about it, you get notified, and they go through additional training.
Interesting. So it kind of gives you a little bit of a simulation.
Exactly. So it gives you insight. You want to know if Susie's clicking on links every month, hey, we got to give Susie some more training or else she's going to lead to a data breach, yep. right? The next one is email backup, right? So for 365 Gmail, so backs up all of your data. This helps with, you know, if you ever have e-discovery, if you haven't had the right tools, e-discovery can be an absolute nightmare, right? Going through individual email accounts on computers and all that stuff. So this makes it okay there.
Yeah, and I'm having an issue with email backup because it doesn't back it up in a format that makes it easy to work with.
Yes. So, and this provides a portal, a backend portal. So you can just type in from this email address to this email address between the dates, boom, it gives you everything you need. Another byproduct that I forget to talk about is it allows you to delete email confidently, right? So mm-hmm. instead of having 18,000 emails in your sent folder or in your trash that you never, ever, ever empty, because you're like, oh, maybe one day I'll need this email from 7 years ago. You can delete confidently and know that it stays in the, you know, third-party email backup service.
I will tell you personally, that's important to me right now because I keep getting messages that my mailbox quota is full, and yeah. it's in the sent email is where it keeps building up. And yeah. I have to go in there and, you know, work at the at almost the root level to delete the sent email or put a rule in and delete it after 6 months or what have you. Mm-hmm. So yeah. it's very important. Okay, so email backup.
Then the other one we talked about before is the tools on your Mac or PC, right? So this does all the proactive monitoring. So if your hard drive's almost full, if you've got a failing hard drive or battery issues, things like that, it gives you a heads up before it becomes a four alarm fire. It does all the regular maintenance to make sure it keeps your computer in tip top shape, and it does mm-hmm. all the patching for Apple or Windows, all the security patches, and also your third party software. And it also has antivirus and web protection built in. So that's another huge time saver there. Yep. The next one is a $250,000 cyber insurance policy.
Interesting.
Yeah. What's cool about this is that everyone knows they should have a cyber insurance policy, but I forget the stats. It's extremely low, the percentage of lawyers that actually have them. And one of my favorite things is we were able to work with a provider who only works with companies that create these kind of security stacks, if you will, so that they know as a whole, the risk of their clients having an event are far lower than the industry average. And so they were able to create a no application policy. So you don't have to go through the complex underwriting and 50 super complex security questions that are over your head. You don't have to deal with insurance people, which I mm-hmm. don't think many people enjoy. And it goes into effect that within 24 hours from signing up. So that's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And that includes, phone number, if you believe you've had a data breach, it covers against all the different things that could come up from a data breach.
I have to admit, I never even thought about insuring against the risk, but obviously that's a key component.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that are not covered in your standard E&O policy.
Right.
So this includes investigation, coverage for fines and penalties, credit monitoring and notification. On average, it costs $151 per record that you have in your database.
Wow.
So that's a ballpark to kind of work out how much it's going to cost you, right?
That gives us a pretty good sense of what Security Plus involves. In our last couple of minutes here that we have, tell the audience, if they come to work with you, what does that look like? How is that implemented?
Yeah, so they can just, sign up kind of self-serve online. Mm-hmm. It's $197 for, there's a three-user minimum. So it's $197 for three users. And then it goes up from there. So it's about $50 to $70 per user per month, depending on the total number of users. And once they sign up, they fill out a six-minute kind of intake form that gets us all the information we need to get started and start doing all the work on the back end. They would then schedule a one-hour kickoff call. And once we complete that 60-minute kickoff call, what we've done is every single thing we could do without their involvement, we do. And then we considered creating walkthrough videos on how to do a couple of the more complicated steps. But we're like, no, this is not going to work for most users. So we squeeze it into 60 minutes through Zoom. We can do a screen share. We activate the last couple services. And at the end of that 1 hour, all eight of these security layers are in effect and protecting their firm.
Well, Tom, I can't tell you how exciting this is. I think it's really just the natural outgrowth of the work that you've been doing for the last dozen years, and gives the opportunity to for you to meet that lofty goal of being able to help a million people, because certainly there are a million lawyers out there who are not paying enough attention to security. So I think it's spot on. And I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm thrilled. It's, you know, at the end of the day, it's just check the box and go back to doing what you do best. You know, that's really what I'm
going to do. 100%. So if our audience wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
They can shoot me a direct email at tom@securityplusplus.io, or they can go check out more info at the website, which is securityplusplus.io, and go from there.
Outstanding. Well, Tom, I want to thank you again for being on the show for the fourth time. You know, only Victor Medina, who we both love and know from, as you said, MacTrack Legal, formerly Milo Fest. Only Victor leads you with five appearances. So you're hot on the heels of that first place. So we'll have to
set up the heels of greatness.
Heels of greatness. So we've got a little rivalry going there. And of course, Brett Burney isn't too far behind.
Well, I'm honored and extremely thankful for your time and for having me on again.
Terrific. Well, Tom, thanks so much for being a guest today on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil.
Well, how about that? That's a wrap for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors once again, as usual, Daylight by Market Circle, Spotlight Branding, Ruby, as in Ruby Receptionist, and our newest sponsor, Security Plus. If you have a chance, swing on by our website at www.lawentrepreneur.com. You can check out a bunch of information and resources there. And if that doesn't satisfy your needs, swing on by our Facebook page or Twitter page. You can find those just by simply searching for The Law Entrepreneur. And if you'd be so kind, I would greatly appreciate it if you go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and an honest review. If you find this podcast is helpful and that you're getting value out of it, it does help with our visibility and ensures that we're going to be there for another 5 years or so, as this has been quite the run. And I'm greatly appreciative of your interest in The Law Entrepreneur.